Hey, here's a little swap cast that I did with the wonderful ladies of the Bandwagons podcast. It's Fionnuala and Breed. We were talking about conspiracy theories. We talked about Jeffrey Epstein a little bit, Prince Andrew. We talked about the Anunnaki and JP Morgan. And we talked about loads of other stuff as well. I don't want to spoil it all for you before you get into it. We recorded this in Collaborative Studios. So thanks to Shane Dempsey at Collaborative. And thanks to Fionnuala and Breed for thinking on me and asking me over to have the crack with them in on the bandwagon. You can check out their show. They've loads of different types of content, loads of different types of topics. That's more kind of pop culture. It's not fucking hardcore conspiracy shit, obviously. But they're out having the crack, loving life and living large. You can follow them on Twitter and Instagram, and I have all of their contact details below. But yeah, I digress. Here's the Swapcast.
Funny story about that. My friend Denise.
I didn't know what you were going to say there.
My friend Denise. I don't know if she listens, but she had a baby there a while ago. Hello, Jackson, who's definitely not listening. And for like the baby shower, they had a competition of like who designed the best bib. And on my bib, I wrote Jeff Fuel Can't Melt Steel Beams.
Did you win?
No. Everyone was like, "Why did you do that?"
I was like,
"This is hilarious."
Yeah.
I'm Fionnuala. Hello, welcome back to Bandwagons.
Hi, I'm Breed.
We're absolutely delighted to be joined by a special guest.
Our podfather.
Oh shit.
Great stuff. No pressure now. Bree, do you wanna do the introductions? Do you wanna do the honors? He's
a big fan. He's a fellow Wexfordian.
Yes.
Podcaster extraordinaire of the world and conspirator.
Okay.
That's all I have.
That's good enough. I thought you were going to come up with some like back in the day shit. I was like, oh my God, the skeletons are out.
Into the archives.
It's Gordon Rochford.
Hey. Woo-hoo. What's going on, girls?
We need an applause for the soundboard. Yeah. Make a note of that.
We keep saying, I think we should never get a soundboard, but just keep referring to the soundboard.
Yeah, absolutely.
Get good Catholic applause. Like at Christmas Mass, now bring out your recorders and just when everyone applauds all the children that went up for the nativity scene, just be like... Because they're the ones who they clap with the most enthusiasm.
We're not going to Mass.
None of your Protestant claps here. You don't go to Mass.
No.
You don't even like guiltily go to
midnight
Mass.
My mom sings
at midnight
Mass and everything.
And do you not go drunk and have the best time ever?
No.
Oh, okay.
We did for a while and now we don't. I think my mom and dad were just done with kind of guilting us.
We went to...
Thanks, mom.
The last time I was at Mass, it was for my granddad's month's mind. And to say we ripped the piss out of... we were all just shaking, laughing the whole time just at everything that happened. I had a Pandora bracelet on and you know when they shake the bells? I kept going like that with my Pandora and like jingling it. And it wasn't funny, but...
It's what Dad wanted.
It never gets to show the grief. I remember being an altar boy and I would ring, I had the opportunity to actually ring the jingle bells, the ones that are in a little tree. And it's so, musical. It's just a beautiful harmony to it.
There's a technique to it,
There is. It's a flick of the wrist. Yeah. It's the same one that Father Murphy taught me.
No, stop. I knew you were going there.
So,
for an altar boy, it doesn't sound good.
And I'd ring them. But I'd ring them for about 15 seconds more than people expected. So they're always trying to sit down. I'm going to sit down. And I'm ring-a-ling-a-ding-ding-ding. Keep it going. And then I do two little ring-a-ling-a-ding. Just at the end.
And then you got sacked.
Yeah, no, I didn't get sacked.
Can you get sacked from being an altar boy? I think they're taking whatever they can get these days.
You just grow up. They do the pube checks. And then once once you fail that, you're out.
Oh, okay.
My sister likes to play the game to be the last one standing in Mass. Do you ever do that?
No.
So, whenever you have to sit down, she'll just make sure everyone else has sat down before her and then she'll sit down.
I like sitting up the very, very front and then just standing up, kneeling down at random times. So people who don't usually go there would be like, "Do we stand up now?" And then
no,
I look behind
me.
And I go,
"Because you do just copy the person in front.
You cooperative fools."
Or it's the same with this responsorial Sam.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have a breeze now going in.
Not
I'd be like,
"They changed it."
Yeah. But you see, do you know what it is? Mass and that kind of generalized religion across the board in most of them have these chants, they have these, mantras. And it's just to lull you into a meditative cooperative state. So you're just like, and I was there on the second day, and this is the right hand of the Father, to see that prayer. And you was there on the third day, I was there, or whatever that, you know, that.
Yeah, my mom.
Yeah, but that's just... noises in the same way as everyone else.
Monotone. Yeah. It is hypnotic, isn't it?
It's hypnotic to make you like look the other way when the Vatican is moving priests around from parish to parish. And it's changed up now because people were getting, they were getting too complacent and it wasn't,
they weren't
paying attention.
Oh, that's why they changed the switch.
That's when I tapped out. The minute they changed it to "It Is Right and Just," I was like, right, yeah. I'm out. It's for that reason.
It's like changing the lyrics to like, you know,
Jingle Bell,
Happy Birthday or something.
But well, I was going to say Bohemian Rhapsody, but yeah, something more contemporary.
Oh, God.
We just drove straight into the deep end there.
Yeah, Gordo,
so it didn't. That's only paddle. That's a paddling pool.
There's not a big toe in yet. Like,
Gordo is here to talk to us about conspiracy theories.
Where we talk about the ancient alien progenitors of the human race.
That's,
get ready.
That's my shit. Let's get on
bandwagons.
So you do those conspiracy guys.
That's your podcast.
It is.
That's your child.
But I spell it correctly. Does conspiracy with an extra P. CPONPSPIRIS.
Conspiratory guys. Was
it? It's good.
Those conspiracy guys, it's for just anyone who actually wants to listen.
Yeah.
Should be just that conspiracy guy though, then.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there's many.
There's always more than one. Yeah,
there's a rolling collection of guys.
Exactly. Oh, and girls.
Are we honorary guys?
Oh, you guys are coming on next season for Shizzle.
Yeah.
Maybe one at a time, because your powers seem to be, like, while combined,
we'll
you're like symbiotic.
You, yeah. Absolutely.
I want to break you up and get you on your own and you on your own.
Oh, I won't be good on my own. I need someone to tell me what I can and can't say. Actually, that doesn't matter on yours. You have no filter.
We'll just give you a thing that you can just go and learn it faster. Jeffrey Epstein didn't kill himself. Just like
So how did you get into conspiring? I don't know how to use that word in any
conspiracy
of the
conspiracy theories. You could, yeah, I think it's a noun now.
Yeah, were you into it as a child?
I mean, keeping secrets and trying to figure out shit. Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
I mean, we grew up in Catholic Ireland. We grew up in. I'm not going to go.
Not
going to
let it go.
I'm not going to let that shit go. No, we grew up in a place where we knew some shit's going down, and it's not real. And I'd be asking questions in school and people would be all like, and in the book it says the Celts and they did the thing. Or then in geography it's all like, the ice would melt and refreeze and create scree. And I'm all like, yeah, but like, that surely is not the only pro. Like, I'd ask more questions.
Yeah.
And my reports that I got home, my parents is ask too many questions, talks in class, could do better. And I'm like, I could do better on your fucking sliding scale of success. I could do better. But I'm doing just fine by my standard.
Yeah, it looks fine.
I know, yeah. I can't wait for like the 25-year, you know, secondary school where all the old teachers are on their walking canes or their Zimmer frames and like, I remember you when you were in the class. I was like, yeah, do you remember asking all them questions, bitch? Let's make me money now. Where's your fucking report cards now, old man? Like,
just go around with business cards that are just like the URL of your Patreon. Like, just, like, just don't speak. Like, yeah. Just like, I'm above you now. Yeah. Like,
well, I say I don't, above, below, that's not, we're all, you know, God's creatures, but it's got very holy. I got into conspiracy theories, like the official like conspiracy theories. I remember the first time I ever questioned some shit was when my dad and my older brother, who's like 11 years older than me, they were watching JFK, the movie.
Oh yeah,
right, 1991, Oliver Stone, and they got it on video out of Extravision. Video to VHS cassette.
Familiar. We're familiar, yeah.
You know that?
Yeah.
The box with the dreams.
We're older than we look.
Yeah.
And I remember watching the start of it and there was some scuffle at the start of the movie and someone's top got pulled off in some protest and a titty popped out. And then my dad, my brother, looking at, you know, 10-year-old me and going, no, there's a titty in the first 30 seconds. Get out. And I was outside the room just going, what's so special about this? What's going on? And there was a titty. I want to see that titty again. And I ended up like sneaking away and watching JFK on my own. I was like, oh, they didn't. The guy... He wasn't shot at all by that guy. And it broke my sense of reality because I was like, why is everybody... Why is it covered up? Why is it the accepted norm that he's shot by this when it's quite obviously the opposite? And then I started drinking like pretty early, like 13 or 14. And then started like it kind of skewed like the perception of the way things should be. If you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like smoking hash and drinking cans when you're supposed to be learning, like, you know, algebra and
quadratic equations,
and biology,
yeah,
and all this kind of shit. Like, it doesn't, you're just like, what the fuck? I'm wasting me fucking time here in this, sitting in this box with a load of other like smelly plebs. And we're all smelly plebs.
Yeah.
And I was just going like, what are we doing? What are we doing, lads? Like,
I'm still a smelly pleb.
There's some,
same, yeah,
some fucking menopausal gowl is like reaming off shit from a book that was written 25 years ago because that's what everyone agreed is the thing you're supposed to say when someone asks you. And I was like, nah, fuck this, yeah, I'm out.
I kind of had a moment like that. I know this is going to sound really bad and maybe we might have to cut it out, but did you see Unabomber on Netflix?
Yeah, it was brilliant.
Brilliant. And then at the end,
did you read his manifesto?
He had some valid points.
I said that in my show as well and people were like, he's the Unabomber. And I'm like,
I was at your show, maybe that's where I got it from. No, but he was
there,
like,
you
stop at a red light because you're programmed to stop at a red light. He was like, what if we just, none of us, like, we're all just following these rules.
I think you've been red pill, Breed. You're in.
Thanks.
You're a conspirator.
Thank you.
She's red-pilled.
Thank you.
She's quoting the fucking Unabomber. Like, what's going on?
I'm just Googling the Unabomber to determine whether do need to cut this out.
Ted Kaczynski. He was that bad,
but it's...
He's not that bad. That's for
what
Patreon.
I said is not that bad, I don't think.
Ted Kaczynski's not that bad.
He's not great now, though. He is not great.
What he did wasn't that great, but his arguments weren't that bad.
Yeah, like Pol Pot or, you know, Gaddafi.
The famous
Britain's Got Talent. I love him.
Hitler could have been right about the Jews, Breed. I agree with you.
No.
Yeah, I agree with you. There's something, like, we can't put our finger on it. But let's just, like, you know, let's go with it.
I'm shit sick of the two of you already.
This is how it happened.
So would you say it's the same for everyone? It's that kind of morbid curiosity, that want to explore more beyond the said information that we're given usually in these places like school and stuff?
I think that there's a certain cohort of people in a school situation that will just be like, yeah, because you kind of have to buy into that system. So you get shown what you could get at the end and you either agree and, you know, capitulate and cooperate, or you disagree and then you spend your 20s, do you know, with like a weird smell of hemp around you for a long time, possibly having some experimental haircuts and the clothes, ill-fitting clothes, like that may not, you know, X-Works jeans and the like. And people ask questions naturally, but I think there's a society that has been built up over the last 30 years anyway, since like maybe the early 90s, with the advent of the internet, that they're being instructed to live in a certain way. It's a much more effective control mechanism than, say, the 50s, 60s, 70s, and 80s, where television and newspaper was the mainstream media, but more people were reading books, more people were getting their own information, they were congregating in real life with people, and they weren't being bombarded with, like, overarching agendas or people that have, like, a global, like, trickle-down information structure. Whereas now, being online... you join like a message board or a Facebook group or whatever, and then two pricks from America will go in and go, okay, we're going to try and infiltrate this and kind of drip feed a few bits of information. And then the next thing, like 6 months later, that Facebook group that started off as a Ted Kaczynski fan page is now like a right-wing Christian anti-black movement or something
that,
you know? So that shit happens now way easier than it used to. And I think that people want to ask questions right now. Conspiracy theories is like the new rock and roll. I think people are fed up of the facade. People are fed up of looking at what's happening. They can quite obviously see the things that are going wrong in government, in you know, top level capitalist neoliberal like business practices, and even with stuff like YouTube or like podcasts, you can see people getting pinched for saying something, and then they're like, "Okay, your YouTube channel is gone." And you're like, "Wait a minute, where did that guy go? This seems very George Orwell. Like, why?" What did he have to... And then you go looking into what they say. And you're like...
I love that stuff.
What was he saying to make him get kicked off? And people are now digging around instead of just going like, oh, okay. And then just like walking away like they used to. People are like, no. I have the phone in my hand and it's the fucking key to the universe. Like, I can look up anything.
Yeah.
And then you just have to learn the skills to discern what's bullshit and what's not bullshit.
Yeah. But
that's what I was going to ask. Is there a danger then, though, in this age of misinformation, and I hate to fucking say it, but fake news and stuff, where
fake news, girls,
fake
is
news,
a very
guys.
Real problem, okay? It's a very real thing. Jim Acosta, CNN, okay? They don't like me. They put out a lot of really, really poo-poo stories about me online, okay?
If my mom listens to this, she's going to get such a kick out of that impression.
What's your mother's name?
Calista. She switched off a long time ago, I think.
What's your mother's name?
Calista.
Calista?
Yeah.
It sounds like a very sweet, fruity ice cream flavor. Calista, I look for you on a hot June afternoon. We'd have a tremendous time.
Oh, my poor mom.
Calista. What a
That's so her name is, her actual name is Marion, but her middle name is...
So she's the stripper, is that it? It's just like...
Her middle name is Calista, but it was that thing of, I don't know, because my dad doesn't go by his actual name. He goes by like his middle name.
Are your parents fugitives from the law? Like, what the fuck
they
is
must
going
be.
On?
I didn't
ask enough questions.
They're
there,
actually the stars of the Americans. Yeah, I should have. No, but actually, and my mom, bringing it back to religion, was there was like Pope Callistus or something at the time. So Calista, there you go.
Oh, yeah.
There you go. Anyway,
what was your question?
Misinformation and the danger of that with how popular conspiracy theories are going out. And like, there are a lot of people, like, you do it really well, and then I have other people who don't really do it well.
You're
like
me.
No, I was going to use the example of like Shane Dawson. I don't know if you're familiar with any of the stuff that he does.
I do, yeah, I am, yeah.
And I'd be interested to know your opinion on him. But first, I'd kind of be more interested in like the how you balance like kind of giving people this other view without. You know, like without
a bias painted all over.
Exactly. And I suppose there's a lot of people getting into this who don't have the tools, as you said, who can't differentiate between like this is clearly bullshit or parody or satire.
Yeah.
Between this is another theory. Take it as you will. Like, use your brain, investigate, like analyze yourself.
I think people have to like, you know, sharpen and hone their skills of deductive reasoning and analysis. Like a lot of people, like the other people in school who don't ask the questions, they're just like, look, if I take in all this stuff and then remember it and then regurgitate it verbatim, then I get a great job in an office where I have a fella with a more expensive suit that hands me a bunch of papers, and then I process them with my human brain and then poop out some other papers with some extra stuff on top of what he said, and then people, they give me like money for that. Cool, I'll just do that. And those people can it's totally fine. That life is the majority of people do that shit. And with fake news, I guess everyone has a vote, everyone has a voice. With social media, people have been given a platform to elevate their voice, and a lot of people don't filter themselves or don't feel the need to filter themselves because they create these echo chambers online where they will be agreed with and, you know, supported in sometimes bigotry, sometimes, you know, far-fetched theories about, you know, Michelle Obama has a Mickey or something like that, and people are like, yeah, I seen a picture and it looks like there's a lump there, she definitely has a Mickey.
Or like Beyonce faking her pregnancies and stuff.
Well, that I think is true. Like, I saw
I think that's true as well. Sorry,
totally,
that's
true.
She
was too squishy.
No, she got like, a surrogate, and yeah, she was like, do you know, my flaps don't get no baby stretching. I knew I'd work flaps in there somewhere. But Beyonce, it was too posh to push. She was just like, let's get a surrogate. I've seen her bending down the belly.
But why did she keep it a secret? What has she got to do with like Kim uses surrogate?
I think people would have judged her.
Yeah.
Because she was like, it was at a time where celebrities weren't really seen to be doing it. Especially someone like Beyonce. I feel like people would have immediately been like, as you said, too posh to push, hack of her. But then like, she had the twins and people kind of forgot, I think. I think she legitimately had the twins. She did not have Blue Ivy. I feel like she's her kid, but she didn't house the child.
She's Jay's kid anyway. Yeah. The head on her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She does
a baby,
have a Jay-Z.
Like, yeah. Big Jay-Z head in her. Like,
genetics don't lie. But what I'm saying is like, people don't get or want to exercise that analytical side. Because sometimes it's too hard to read that shit and go like, what's really going on?
Yeah,
sometimes
you start to question everything. There, yeah, like the Truman Show.
Exactly. And then you're fucking watching the Late Late Show and you're going, Ryan Tuberty, why are you fucking slamming the liberal agenda down our throats, making children crying instead of like a natural, normal person, making the camera go away? You're like, zoom in, camera two. And you grab the child by both sides of the face and you're like, your brother is dying at
home.
No,
Gordon, no.
He's dying. And you're going to get to go and enjoy the School of Rock in London while your brother's
no,
at home
as
his cells deteriorate from a degenerative disease. Cry for me, bitch. And I'm like, Toberty, that is really...
You can't say that.
That's hardcore, bro.
You cannot say that.
Like, that's what he did. He was
no,
like,
it's not.
He did, and then he hugged her, but he's like, he went to hug her, and then at the last second, he just turned her head so she'd be facing out the camera to go with her cry face. She couldn't cry into his jumper.
Into his microphone, because like, no. It would sound weird.
He was like, cry to the camera, bitch, and turned her head so that people could see her crying. I was like, nah, man. Liberal agenda. But that's like people.
You, end up,
you can't even enjoy the toy show then when your head is in that space, right?
Yeah. What is your favorite conspiracy, though?
Oh, I'm not finished talking about this thing.
No, we are.
This analytic. What I'm saying is, and I'd be brief, so we'll get to the next question. What I'm saying is, because I don't want to finish on the little intro rant. That's bananas. Just for Patreon. So I think that people need to exercise their analytical skills, because what we're being told now and fake news now, it's definitely coming from two sides. There, and in the last like 3 years, I think since Trump took office, it's after like skyrocketing. That people need to be able to, like, we all have a bias. So when you're going to write a college essay, you have to have a bias. You have to have a point of view. Everyone has a point of view, and you should be allowed or able to defend it. And if you have a point of view and someone asks you why and you can't say why, then that's not your point of view. Don't be listening to other people's shit, because what people do is, instead of thinking for themselves, they look at someone they respect or they're told should be respected. They take what they're saying and then they just parrot it around the place. But when you scratch below the surface and go, why do you think that? It's like, oh, because that lad on that one on YouTube said that, or that lad said that. It's like, yeah, but why do you believe it or think it? Like, do you understand what it means? You're a fascist, and like reporting people on Twitter when they're being questioned, you know. So I think that like conspiracy theories now are mainstream because people don't want to do that anymore, and it's after opening up a whole load of other topics, like, you know, assassinations and political subterfuge and all this kind of stuff, you know.
Yeah,
but cut the Late Late Show stuff out, because but seriously though, it was a fucking sham of a thing.
Gordo did not enjoy the Late Late Toy Show. Me and Breed did.
There was no fucking toys in it.
I'm gonna leave it there.
I won't argue with him on this because I won't win.
Ryan Tuberty like touching that black child's hair?
No, you can't say black.
And then when he wouldn't let, him touch his hair, he was like, "Stop touching my hair. It's not cool to touch black people's hair without asking." Ryan Tuberty got a load of like chemicals and threw it in his eyes. He's like, "That's a fucking hate. That's a hate crime." And then the child is all like spitting on national television. And Ryan Tuberty's like, "That's what you get for not letting me touch your hair, motherfucker." Like. Did
typical
that not happen?
White privilege.
Yeah, that's what
white
I mean.
Privilege. Breed, I think you had a question for Gordo there.
Gordo, you have hundreds of episodes of your podcast, don't you?
A few, yeah.
What is your favorite ever conspiracy?
See, it's not like...
Or like your top three.
Yeah, it's not like conspiracy. Like, they're not conspiracies. Most of it is actual history. It's just that it's not told in the way that I tell it.
Yeah.
Do you know? I like to have these arcs across like different episodes. So I have like two or three. You know, remember watching the X-Files years ago? And you'd have, you know what? Never watched the X-Files? You guys are still young.
The most experience I have with the X-Files is that episode of The Simpsons where they're in it. Like, that's as far as it goes.
Shit. Well, that's where, like,
it sounds like my buzz, though. I might go back and watch it.
Absolutely do. That's where
the new ones
go.
Yeah. Are the newest?
I haven't even seen season 10 or 11. But I watched up to season 8 and I was like, yeah, that's enough for me.
Yeah.
When Mulder left, I'm like, nah, you're grand.
Yeah.
I don't like the cop from Terminator 2 as a substitute Mulder. He's just not good. But yeah, like you're watching the X-Files and in one season, it'll have like a continual story, but there'll be 2-3 episodes or 4 episodes in between each one. And they continue, like Scully, what's her name? Gillian Anderson got pregnant in real life. And they wrote this whole storyline about her getting pregnant and abducted by aliens and brought onto a spaceship. And they took the baby out and all this. And it was like a 3 episode arc. So I kind of, as an homage to that, I kind of like to do that over certain seasons. So I have... I have an episode about money and banking and the Federal Reserve.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like, it goes from like the history of money all the way back to the very, very start where people had like pressed salt coins, you know, in like ancient Mesopotamia and ancient Persia. They'd have salt because it was like a commodity and they'd press it into little round coins that were weighed. And that was like the first monetary transactions, you know, from barter. And then it goes all the way up to like why gold is so valuable. That the amount of gold that's on the planet now is as much as there ever will be. And it always gets found with silver. And the price of gold and silver is directly correlated to how much gold and silver there is on the planet. So it's like gold is like 7 times more valuable than silver because there's 7 times less gold than there is silver, do you know?
Yeah.
And then the magical properties of gold, that like there's people that are doing these cancer treatments where you inject like microscopic gold into your body and then the gold molecules attach themselves to like tumor cells and then they microwave it and the metal molecules heat up and kill the cancer cells and it's like...
That's a real thing?
It's a real thing, yeah.
And it works?
Yeah, gold is mad, like...
All I remember, all I'm thinking of
it's
that, like...
It's a disinfect...
That gold...
Hold on, sorry, there was a doubtful whine.
That was her. I'm just keep thinking of Goldschlager, do you know the...
Yeah, well, that's...
The vodka with the gold bits in it.
That makes the fanciest shits in the world. Just like, oh, look at my...
Did you ever have it?
Look at my arse explosion. It's so
festive.
I
never had it. I thought
it
was...
Fair enough, do it, like. It's not
but that's what that's what I thought. It was just this... I don't think I ever had that, though, either.
Can we get back to your disbelieving whine?
You did just say gold cures cancer.
Yeah, so I'm...
It's not that it cures cancer. It's that it reduces the size of tumors.
Okay.
Like, there's like $10 trillion worth of gold floating in the oceans right now, but it's just in microscopic like molecule form
and in that ship that from that movie Matthew McConaughey was in.
Yeah, Fool's Gold.
Yeah.
Breed, you've actually been looking for a new job. This could be it. Like,
what, like diving in the sea? I don't like open water.
Oh, you don't like open water. Sorry, I forgot about that.
You're thalassophobic.
Is that the word?
Yeah.
How do you spell that?
C-O-N-P.
Don't get that tattooed on my wrist.
S-P-I-R-P-A-C-Y-P. Conspiracy.
I can't say it.
Thalassophobia is the fear of open water. So, yeah, like gold has these mad properties. Like it's antiseptic, it's antibacterial. Like, do you know the way like all the Celts would wear like these gold neck braces and the gold wrist kind of like bracelets?
Yeah.
Yeah,
so that when they had shit on their hands.
Is that why
they could just wipe their hands and then rub their hands on the gold wrist bracelets?
Yeah.
And it would disinfect their hands.
Is that why all the rappers wear it now as well?
No, that's...
And like the local TDs.
That's
the Lord Mayors.
It's a really tasteless racial... Rappers wear... Is that why they wear gold? So that when they have shit on their hands, they can just wipe...
Fuck it. Shane, you're going to have to fucking cut this as well. I just meant generally...
Should we cut the left?
Cut nothing.
They might have fucking iron deficiency or something. I don't know. I didn't mean it like that. Anyway.
I think rappers wear gold because they wanted to portray like...
It's an expression of wealth.
A life of affluence.
Absolutely.
But then in 1987, 1988, with bands like De La Soul, they went away from the gold and the gangster and they started wearing like traditional African beads.
Oh, yeah.
To be able to show like that it's not about gold and bling. It's about the music and unity and all that stuff. There's a brilliant set of documentaries, Hip Hop Evolution, on Netflix.
Oh, yeah.
Talks about that if you want to see. But gold is a magic thing. Like it's there's a whole episode about money and gold, and then it moves into JP Morgan. I don't know if you heard of him.
Yeah,
he was like this rosacea nosed see you next Tuesday, and he created the Federal Reserve. He cornered the market in copper. He was like a real shenanigan maker, and He basically created like the IRS, like the tax system that the world is running on.
There's JP Morgan in Dublin, isn't there?
Yeah, but that's the bank that was from him. Like
that's him.
Yeah,
is he still alive?
No, he died in like 1919 or 1920.
Oh, wow. But it was long time ago.
Yeah, but like
pre-famine.
He came from England. His family came from England and they cornered the markets and loads of stuff in.
Okay, no, sorry. I have to pause for a minute. Did you say pre-famine?
I take it back immediately.
Pre-famine 1919. When did the famine happen, Breach?
1923? No.
Oh
no, that's wrong.
Are you taking the piss?
No, the fam. I'm thinking of the...
What are you thinking of?
I'm thinking of something else.
You're thinking of Michael Collins getting shot, which
yeah,
is...
Yeah, yeah.
Everyone, sorry, carry on, Gordo. Everyone. I had to address that though.
I'm so glad you did.
And you're going to leave that
I
in?
I did
and
Irish
cut out,
in college.
Cut out my
I don't want to inflict the people on you.
Oh, okay.
I can inflict the people on Breed. Yeah,
bring them.
You don't want the hate I get.
Let's go. You don't get hate, do you?
Not yet.
Once we get onto white supremacy and you're
oh
like,
God.
Ted, they're photoshopping your face on Ted Kaczynski's
Tell
body.
You what. Tell me more about JP Morgan. I'm interested.
So yeah, he started.
And I would like to subscribe to your newsletter.
He started the Federal Reserve. He came from England. He moved over to America. He started in all these like businesses. And he moved down to New Orleans. And it was really sketchy businesses. But because there was no rules, there was no like antitrust laws, there was no like monopoly, anti-monopoly laws, he just took over everything because he's like, he saw the opportunity. There was no one else doing it. There was no laws to stop him. So, like, these are like the men who built America, you know, Rockefeller, JP Morgan, Rothschilds. Like, these are the names that pop up all the time when you're talking about conspiracy theories. And they're the guys who run like the World Bank, the IRS, and the tax system, the Federal Reserve, and the dollar, which runs like every big economy in the world trades on the dollar, you know. So JP Morgan made all that shit. And then there was a whole episode, then the third in the trilogy, on the Federal Reserve itself and how money doesn't mean anything and every dollar that exists is like only has 1/10 of its value, that how the fractional reserve banking works. Like, there's probably some bankers out there listening going, shut up. But like, it's a real like fucked up system, you know. That's how I construct the stuff. But if you're talking about a once-off episode, that's my favorite. I love the story of Charlie Manson.
Yeah.
Who didn't kill anybody. He's not actually a murderer. It's a big misnomer. Nobody actually died by his hand. He did shoot somebody, but they didn't die. And he was like the, how would you say, the encourager of some murders. He didn't order it specifically. He was just like...
But that is what happened, isn't it?
What do you mean?
Didn't he get the...
Here's the cops now.
I know, yeah, they found us.
They're like,
he encouraged...
Stop that
like,
guy telling everybody.
Didn't he encourage... Just got the people on his farm to go and kill... What's her name?
You're asking the wrong
actress.
Person.
Huh?
That died. She's in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Margot Robbie played her. What's her name?
Margot Robbie.
Played her. What's her name?
Sharon Tate.
Sharon Tate, isn't it? Tip of my tongue. Sorry. Like
wife of Roman Polanski, who's a dirty
man,
dirty boy.
Yeah, let's not even go there.
But Manson didn't actually kill anyone, did he? He just encouraged other people to do it.
Encouraged in the same way that you were like, hey, everybody should read the Unabomber's Manifesto. Like, it's he's just like, here's some literature. Aww. And then they were all reading it going like, oh my God. Some people say that he's actually a CIA ass. Do you know how close Charlie Manson was to being like an international rock superstar?
Yeah. His music was crap though, wasn't it?
Yeah, but that's the only reason he didn't become one.
Well, that's the same as me.
It's no excuse nowadays.
We could have all been international superstars. Yeah. Like,
so if James Blunt can get a music career. It's like one of those old cars from the 1920s. Remember when the famine was on? Yeah. Get out the road.
There was when I went to primary school, someone had a car who had a car horn like that. It was like, dun, 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 dun.
Oh my God, that's so upsetting.
Was it like a Mexican gangster?
I don't know who it was. But,
and they obviously used it outside the school a lot.
Yeah, very incredibly irritating.
Tell them all about it, those conspiracy guys.
But, yeah.
What's your favorite conspiracy?
Oh, I think it's really obvious, and I think a lot of our patrons said it as well when we asked them.
Oh, yeah.
Is it Jeffrey Epstein didn't kill himself?
But I do want to talk about that as well, maybe briefly. But on a cursory level, Avril Lavigne was replaced by a clone at
and her name is Melissa.
Yeah, that came in.
Explain, the clone
got fucked up, and they didn't put in the right program into the computer, and the new clone has Lyme disease, and you're like, oh, I keep the receipt, like.
Is it like when you just don't update your iOS or something?
Yeah. She's like, she's running on old software and she ended up with Lyme disease and now she can't sing anymore. So why'd you have to go and make it so complicated? Like?
I blame Chad Kroeger, to be honest.
And what, I mean, who's to say that he isn't in on it? Who's to say that he isn't like, yeah, I like the old Avril Lavigne, but she wouldn't have sex with me, so can we clone a new one and then like brainwash her so that she'll touch my wiener?
Oh God. Look at this crap.
But why do...
Best meme ever.
Why do people think she's a clone?
Because there's loads of evidence.
Like what?
The fact that she has Melissa tattooed on her wrist and she shows it all the time. She throws up all these Illuminati symbols and symbolism. There's something wrong with her. Her mouth is different. Her eye holes are different. And maybe she's just getting older. It's one of those things. But cloning is a huge thing. I haven't looked into it yet. We're going to do an episode. But there's loads of clones, man. Nicki Minaj is a clone. Tila Tequila. There's
Tila Tequila.
We don't need two Nicki Minaj.
Oh, sorry. I actually forgot.
Nicki Minaj,
like, No, she's like, Tila Tequila's bad, isn't she? She's a Nazi. Forget that. Okay, I don't mind that she's a clone.
She's not a Nazi. She's an Asian.
Oh, Jesus.
She is. She's coming with a load of really ropey shit. Anyway, who else is a clone? Let's get off this before
they can
we
clone.
Get into anything else.
The Unabomber was right.
I love how you literally say, now, I mean, she could just be getting older. But like, that's the more unrealistic
or like
theory.
Yes, plastic surgery.
Absolutely.
Do you reckon I don't know.
Some people say Kanye is a clone and they keep on cloning him. He said himself...
I keep getting worse every version.
That, yeah.
He said himself, every time I come out and I dye my hair blonde, it's because I've died. He died. He said, like, this is my
but
new...
But he means that in, like, a religious sense, doesn't he? He's mad for the religion.
He's mad for
now,
Jesus
this
now.
Clone, this version is.
Oh, yeah, okay.
They just put, like, the Christian OS
imagine
on.
Every just clone,
like, yeah, turn up more Jesus, more yeah. Jesus. And the lad is over the pot, like, dropping in drops of Jesus. And then he goes like... oh, my God, I put in so much Jesus into this one. And now it's all like...
I want to make a gospel opera. And yeah. It's like, oh, for fuck's sake. Yeah, imagine you were just able to, like, control... Like, imagine they just made a clone of me and it was just, like, they had one really niche interest and it was just, like, Beyblade or something like
but you
just
were the best Beyblade player, like,
just
of all.
No, she wasn't that good. She was just obsessed with it.
Yeah.
Oh, that's the cruelest thing ever.
Let her rip.
To make a clone that's obsessed with Beyblades.
Just flying out of the arena. Like.
Terrible at it. You just don't know how to pull the little string thing. You're just like, I want it to work so badly. And they make a whole movie about it, like the piano or something like that. It's just someone desperately trying to get better at Beyblades in like black and white, like wartime Poland. Yeah.
Oh my God! What's the piano?
She keeps going back to the Beyblade arena and all of it. So like,
is that the pianist? Is that different?
The piano.
No, that's Adrian Brody.
Yeah.
The piano is Anna Paquin.
Yeah.
I have no idea. I don't.
What's your favorite
conspiracy
theory, Breach?
Not allowed to talk about them.
Why?
I don't want to talk about.
She's been compromised.
I don't know.
What have you heard that you think is bullshit?
Oh, like lots of like natural disaster stuff.
Oh, like Hurricane Katrina was totally fake,
like,
and those black people ruined New Orleans on their own.
Without going into like actual things that happened, because I really don't want hate. I'm a big, big fan of the idea of crisis actors.
Yeah, that is a big thing.
I love. I'm so fascinated by that. I don't love it.
Did you ever see the Boston bombings?
No.
Right. Boston Marathon, some shit blew up, but it was like some Halloween bangers or whatever went off at the finish line. And people were like, oh no, loads of people died. It's like, how did that happen? I've had farts larger than that explosion, right?
Yeah.
And the flags blew the wrong way. It was all this whole big thing. And there's video footage of fellas going around at the finish line in the Boston bombings emptying out blood bags. There's one dude.
The pictures?
Videos. They're like moving pictures. And there's one guy who's like being wheeled along in a wheelchair, and there's a very famous picture, and he has one leg and he's holding on, someone's holding on to his vein or his artery so he doesn't bleed to death. And there's a fella behind him called Carlos Arredondo, and he's running behind him. That's not, I didn't make that up.
I know, I
was just accessing my memory banks there by touching my face. And he's running behind him in a wheelchair, and your man's like, oh, my leg! And there's like a bone sticking out, there's bits of lettuce hanging out like an old Christmas ham. Do you know what's mad? That cunt lost his leg before the bombing actually happened. He had one leg already. I don't know why, but they portrayed it like he lost his leg in the bombing, but he was actually an ex-veteran who lost his leg in war. And they put him in a wheelchair and put like a fake bone on the end of his stump and then ran along behind him. And then this Carlos Arredondo guy came out and he started giving these interviews going, I remember I was running down the street. I see a big explosion and he's a guy, he's a bleed very much. And he...
Was that racist?
That's exactly how he sounds. And then there's videos of Carlos Arredondo wearing like a straw cowboy hat. And then later on, he has a different, better quality straw cowboy hat for when he's on the news because they didn't want it to look too shabby. He's walking around.
He's running home and got it.
Dude, there's videos of him walking around looking for the most injured person to kind of be like, who is the guy I was supposed to pick up for the cameras again? Oh, he has one leg. Oh, and he's walking around like looking for somebody. Like pottering around while there's people like bleeding and shit, and then there's other people behind coming up with bags like kit bags
oh, yeah.
with bags of blood, and they're like cutting the bags of blood and pouring it on the ground. Like, it's crazy, man.
That's mad. Can you send that to me so I can put it on Instagram?
Yeah, totally. Talk about like a crisis actor, false flag situation. And then that, but like, and you say that, and everyone's like, "Oh man, people died at that shit." And all, you can't be saying that, but you actually can because I saw it with my eyes.
Yeah,
you'll never find those videos now though, because YouTube is scrubbing all that stuff off the internet. Like,
let's talk about the Queen being dead.
Oh yeah. Did she die this morning? I don't know.
So if anyone's unfamiliar, she's not dead.
No.
And as of recording, she's not dead.
MSN, look, MSN and the Metro, that co.uk, I checked it on the bus on the way in.
Not
dead. Say that she's not dead.
Yeah. So,
but tonight, as we speak, there's a Panorama.
She could be dead somewhere.
Panorama BBC documentary starring Virginia Roberts, alleged victim of Prince Andrew. And I think it could be like a smokescreen that people are like, just say the Queen is dead so that nobody's looking at like Prince Andrew and stuff.
I think that would like throw people towards more royal...
No, I don't think so. Because it's all people are talking about now.
It's called flooding the news.
Yeah.
So they do it on Friday at 5 p.m. is one of the things they do whenever the American government has something big. They'll always announce it at Friday at 5 and it gets lost in the weekend tumble. And by Monday, everyone's like, meh. It doesn't hit like peak times. But this is first thing on a Monday morning. The Panorama thing is on Monday night. That shit is going to be watched.
It even started like the Sunday evening. It was, if people aren't aware, it started from this like WhatsApp group chat screenshot of these.
Yeah, we'll put it on Instagram.
These lads. Can I get some of their names now? It's like Ricey. And all these
Giffo.
Lads. And the, yeah, Giffo and like the group picture is a penis.
Gibbo.
The group picture is just a penis, which just doesn't... And then it's this message being like, Queen dead, died of heart attack.
It's supposed to be between a bunch of squaddies who are like going to be her armed escort for her body or whatever.
And massively caught legs. Everyone started talking about it as if to be like, is the Queen dead? Is the Queen dead?
Because they're dying for her to die. They cannot wait.
She's so old.
There's a really good... If anyone hasn't read it, there's actually a really good article in... The Guardian about what will happen when she does die in terms of like the operational stuff. It's literally called Operation London Bridge, which isn't great.
Oh yeah. They talk about that in The Crown, don't they?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But like, 2 days after there's like a stabbing and a shooting on London Bridge. So they don't want people to be looking at that because some people are saying that shit is fake because you have some lad who was let out of prison 50% of the way through his very serious incarceration for trying to blow up the New York or the London Stock Exchange. He had a plot to blow up the London Stock Exchange.
Jesus.
So he got 16 years in prison, served 8, and he was released that day under very mysterious circumstances. Taped 2 knives to his hands and a fake bomb
vest. How did he get the second one on?
That's the mystery of Allah. And then he ran out into the bridge and he had a fake bomb vest on and he just started stabbing people and 2 people died and then the police like shot him twice in the head. Brown bread. Bang dushed. And then loads of people were saying, oh, that's weird. Why is that cop there? There's a video of him getting up after he's been shot. There's loads of conspiracy stuff about that situation. And every time there's a general election in the UK, there's a Muslim knife attack on London Bridge, it seems. The same thing happened last year where the van drove, crashed into the bollards, bunch of guys got out, started slashing people up. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
So like every time there's an election in England, there's a Muslim knife attack and it was on London Bridge. So then they're going to take, oh, what's the thing? Let's flood the news. Flood the SEO, Operation London Bridge, the Queen is dead. And it gets rid of all those news things. And on the same day, the Prince Andrew is going to 100% get outed to fuck by Virginia Roberts in this Panorama documentary that they don't want anyone to see, yet they're obliged to broadcast. That shit is going to be buried, man. Like Jimmy Hoffa. Like, it's done. So that's why the Queen is dead is so important.
Yeah.
I might have walked all over you there. Sorry about that.
It's very interesting. No, and I suppose that ties nicely into Jeffrey Epstein, briefly.
What a bad cunt.
So basically, if anyone isn't familiar, or actually, you might be better versed to explain this properly, but he was... found guilty of being a bad guy.
Yeah, you can say it.
I
think he's a bad cunt. The C word. If it could apply to anybody, it would apply to this guy.
Yeah. Sex offences, was due to go on trial.
Yeah.
The next day or like very leading up to the trial, mm-hmm. was found dead in his cell by apparent suicide.
Yeah.
There is a theory that that's not the case.
Oh, it's a very...
It's a different body.
That's another theory, yeah.
It's a different body. The years are different.
What are the theories?
What have you heard?
That's someone
I actually
them.
Haven't heard that much. I've just I do not believe that it was suicide. But I don't know. Like, it's all way too convenient in terms of the fact that he was due to go up and it was such a bad crime and now he pretty much.
But before I say anything, I want to see what the
sorry, I
the
heard you have way
is.
More knowledge about it than I do, but I don't do. Really, but I just remember everyone saying at the time that it was Hillary Clinton's uncle's body they used.
I said that.
That's it. That's where I'm getting all my Hillary info
Clinton's,
from. This.
Hillary Clinton's brother.
Brother, was it?
Fake news, guys.
You started that rumor.
Oh, yeah.
It's not like I started it. It's like that I said it because it kind of looks like him. Tony Rodham. Hillary's
and
brother.
And he died like a few
He'd died
weeks
very
before.
I'd heard that as well, yeah.
He and died a few weeks before.
It looks
Epstein.
More like him than it does Epstein.
Oh,
it
was just absolutely.
Yeah. It was just the fact that Jeffrey Epstein is so well connected, has a lot of friends in high places.
Well, I mean, how
his crimes would have implicated these other friends in high places.
How afraid are you of like a defamation suit?
Oh, really, really afraid.
Pretty
Gordon.
Afraid. Pretty like, afraid.
Do you just do like we do on our show and just say allegedly in front of everything and just yeah. say this is my personal opinion or whatever?
Yep.
Yeah, as long Shane's as you say nodding, that, yeah. that's fine.
Can we get it from the gallery? Can I just say allegedly? Okay. So there's people on this list that are allegedly like massive networked pedophiles. Like, I don't know.
Is this Pizzagate? No.
It's everything.
Yeah.
This is everything. Epstein is like the keystone to all of this because he's at the center of all of it. He's a child pimp. He's the man who procured these kids for these celebrities
yeah.
and gave them a place, gave them many places to enjoy their company.
What's the name of that big place up in the woods?
Bohemian Grove.
Yeah.
I don't
you
know.
You did
about,
an episode on that.
I did. I don't know about getting kids to go in there. There's no
oh, it's not the
concrete
same
evidence. No, they just get normal aged hookers.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because it's just like a bunch of old dudes handier. Who can't party. They can't go down to, you know, Lily's Bordello and get fucking rails of cocaine and just get messed up. Like, they have to go somewhere in secret.
Yeah.
Like, I'm sure there's a Bohemian Grove somewhere in Ireland, you know, somewhere in the Glen of the Mall or something. Yeah,
like
Wicklow.
Everywhere, there's ropey shit going on everywhere.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, Jerry Ryan was at them cocaine rocks and he wasn't alone. Do you know? There's a lot of people who know a lot about what's going on in that place and nobody really says that because it's like this clandestine thing. Like,
yeah.
I mean, we've all watched The Toy Show.
I'm going home.
Let's talk about Shane Dawson.
We've all seen it. So Epstein is a bad bookle. He had his right-hand woman is Ghislaine Maxwell, right? And it's said that the two of them are CIA assets. That they're actually tempting very powerful people who have predilections for kiddie fiddling into fiddling kids and then filming it and then going, right, we've a video of you filming kids, fiddling kids, filmed it and conspiracy. And we're going to show it unless you do what we say. So they have some political, you know, leverage. And there's an island and it's called Pedophiland.
No, it's not.
Yeah.
Are you serious?
Jeffrey Epstein's Pedophiland. He has a plane that's nicknamed the Lolita Express. Bit of a Nabokov reference there for your listeners. Bill Clinton was on that plane on paper. This is not allegedly. This is not in my personal opinion. Bill Clinton was on the plane of an alleged and then convicted and then suicided pedophile pimp. He was on the plane of that man to that island where the alleged crimes took place 26 times.
Oh, Jesus.
Like, how many times have you been on a plane in your life? I doubt it's 26.
No, don't think so.
No, not that many.
I mean, Jet Set Brown.
Could you go to the one island 26? Like, could
it
you
can't be that good an
could
island,
you pick
like
another town in Ireland that you've been to 26 times?
No.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, that's a lot of times to be on a plane on a Caribbean island
yeah.
when you're a former American president who's married to someone who's alleged to be part of a massive international global elite pedophile ring, namely Hillary Clinton, and her campaign manager for the 2016 presidential election, John Podesta, whose emails were got by WikiLeaks and leaked to the public, and it has allegedly links to child pornography and the procurement of children for the purposes of sex. And that's what Pizzagate is.
Yeah.
And they've all poo-pooed that kind of stuff. But, like, Pizzagate was supposed to be a ring that was ran out of a Washington pizza parlor by a guy called James Alephantis, and it's since been like poo-pooed.
Yeah, there's a good episode of Reply All about it.
But you know what? The guy who went in to find out, quote unquote, what was going on in, what was it called? Ping Pong Pizza?
It's a terrible name for a pizzeria.
Yeah.
Unrelated.
But Ping Pong Pizza, it's got two ping pong paddles like this as its logo. That's also a 100% confirmed FBI secret pedophile symbol.
Allegedly.
No, 100% factually. And pizza in the shape of a triangle. The logo had this kind of concentric triangles, which is also 100%. You can check it out. FBI ratified official symbol of pedophiles trying to communicate to each other. They get quarters and they'd stamp it with these triangles and pass it amongst each other so they'd be like a secret handshake to know who you were with. So in Comet Ping Pong was the name of the place, pizza. There's a guy went in with a gun who is a paid actor for his whole life. He was never a political activist. Paid actor, pretending to be an activist, went into Comet Ping Pong with an AR-15, which we're trying to outlaw, by the way. And he shot one bullet. Where do you think the bullet went, lads?
Into the roof or something, was it?
Into the fucking server.
Oh.
Into the computer server of the restaurant.
I'm talking about the server of the pizza.
No, no.
It's like, Jesus.
Into the computer server. Into the hard drive of the fucking computer that had all of the information, all the emails and all, like, and the computer blew up. One bullet.
Yeah.
Like, that's crazy.
Goes all the way to the top.
And that's just like a bare scratch of the surface. Like, Epstein was so deeply involved. And I could name out a bunch of names, but they're all alleged, so I won't. But let's just say life is like a box of chocolates.
No, not Forrest.
I do you know? I'm just saying that life is like a box of chocolates. You never know. Who is a pedophile.
You never know.
You just don't.
What's going on in Area 51? What's up with the aliens?
What's the crack of that?
Ironically enough, I don't think there's aliens there. I think it's...
What do you think, sir?
I think it's just...
Pedophiles like filing cabinet full of secrets.
Yeah, it's a filing cabinet for the pedophiles. All filed under P. It's just a testing area for experimental aircraft, and it's just handy that everyone thinks it's aliens because then they can like invent mad shit.
Do you think they shot the moon landing there?
I don't think they shot it there, but I definitely think that there was some shenanigan fakery about the moon landing.
Definitely, yeah.
I mean, not
Breed
maybe.
This is my first, I think. Loves the fake moon landing. She actually loves it.
What do you think about all the Kubrick stuff afterwards? That's why Stanley Kubrick was killed.
Yeah. But there was the whole thing with like all the astronauts that were on the plane died in one way or another. Wasn't it?
From like old age or something?
No, like within the months after it happened. Or maybe it wasn't the one that landed, but like there was like several astronauts that died in like car crashes and like...
Oh yeah, loads of them. Yeah,
just killed off.
To keep them quiet. Well, one of the weirdest parts about the moon landing thing is the press conference afterwards.
Oh yeah?
Where Patrick Moore, you know, the games master Patrick Moore?
Let me ask you a question about the stars. Mr. Armstrong, let me ask you a question. You have traveled further than any other human being. What were the stars like? Were they beautiful?
Like, this is the time when, like, telescopes couldn't see that far. Like, we hadn't got that technology.
Yeah.
You know? And these guys, if they had a telescope, would have been able to see further into space than any other humans have ever seen. So if it was faked, there was absolutely no way they could have come back and said, yeah, well, we looked up to the stars and we seen this nebula and this galaxy and this star system. Because when they got back to Earth, they knew that eventually technology would catch up and it would be found that...
So what did he say?
That was bullshit. So Michael Collins, Neil Armstrong starts to cry... Buzz Aldrin puts his head into his hand, and Michael Collins, not the one that died in the famine in 1923.
Starving.
dying for a hang sandwich. He was down in Cork at a field going, I am hungry.
Where's my tenora?
Yeah. I take a bullet to the head for a chicken fillet roll. Michael Collins sitting at the end just went, and looks at the other two, and the other two boys are like,
oh, really?
Drawing their hand over their neck, like, just, Neil Armstrong is crying. And then Michael Collins goes, you know what?
Wasn't it that they slept the whole time?
I don't
something?
Actually remember seeing the stars.
Yeah.
You're like, motherfucker, you were on the moon for like 2 days.
Yeah.
You'd never looked up.
I heard that they came back. I think maybe it was in The Crown, the last season of The Crown, where they were like, oh, to be honest, you know, we were just so tired by the time we got there. We just ended up sleeping a lot. And we didn't really get a chance to look out the window.
That's like you save up all your money and you drink too much in the bus on the way to the picnic and then just sleep through the whole picnic. You're just like, what was it like? Ah, I didn't see. But instead of Electric Picnic, it was the fucking moon. Like,
it's not great. Like,
it's not good. It doesn't add up, man.
It doesn't add up. But there's a brilliant documentary called A Funny Thing Happened on the Way to the Moon.
Okay.
And in that documentary, True Freedom of Information Act, a document of video releases, they found like extra footage that wasn't included in the official moon landing repertoire, let's say. And it's like stuff like Neil Armstrong calling out how many kilometers they are away from Earth. And they're supposed to be like, I think 8 days into the journey, they should be near the moon by now.
Yeah.
And then Neil Armstrong is like, yeah, we're at 11,000 kilometers. And then here comes back, you sure about that, Neil? Oh yeah, no, it's 235,000. Like, he was reading the wrong fake numbers. There's a whole thing,
the wrong page of the script.
There's a thing where they're trying to get a video clip of the Earth from orbit, from out in space, and you see the Earth and it has like a weird shadow on it, but it's like pretty round, and you're like, oh yeah, that's cool. And in Funny Thing Happened on the Way to the Moon, they show the second half of that clip where they turn the lights on in the capsule and the camera's actually at the back of the capsule, and they're after arranging it so the moon is in the round window on the side of the ship.
Yeah.
And it's like a total like live fake Photoshop like perspective fuck that tries to like fuck with your mind by like making it seem like the Earth is really tiny and far away. When really, if they put the camera up to the window, it'd be super close because they weren't actually that far away at all.
Yeah.
Like, it's little things like that I'm like, that looks like a bit of fuckery.
Yeah.
Right there. Her eyes are lighting up like Christmas morning. I know.
These are facts I've never heard.
This is the best day of her life.
I was just talking about like the flags waving and stuff, you know, like
as
the basic bitch stuff.
But there's so many more little weird things, like the photographs and having like the numbers.
Shadows and
the
all.
Numbers on the rocks. Yeah. Why is there numbers on the rocks? Unless it was like Madness. Kubrick, like, you know, getting fake foam rocks.
Yeah, set design.
Did you ever see the footage sped up?
No.
And it just looks like Lasseter jumping. They're just like jumping from one foot to the other. Then when you slow it down, they're all like, shit, I'm on the moon. Like jumping up and down in slow motion.
You reckon that's what they did?
I mean, Kubrick was a great director.
Yeah.
He also,
some of his best work.
I'm not going to sleep.
He also, after doing the Kubrick connection is just mwah, because he did the moon landing for NASA, but before that he did a Space Odyssey 2001.
Oh
where
yeah,
he got to practice filming what it's like in.
That's why they picked him
in no gravity. And then after he did
Space Jam.
No. Well, it's Michael Jordan.
Yeah.
Got AIDS.
Everybody
got space AIDS.
Got a real jam going now. Welcome to the Space Jam.
It's not Michael Jordan. It's Magic Johnson has AIDS, not Michael Jordan.
Michael Jordan definitely didn't get AIDS in that movie.
No. But that rabbit was sexy, boy. I got a weird kid boner. I'm like, am I supposed to be
Lola Bunny.
Yeah.
Bunny, I love Lola.
Kubrick did, it's not something Leiden. What's the name of that movie?
Here.
Are you talking about the guy from
The Sex Pistols? No, it's not Johnny Lydon. It's something.
Shane's looking it up.
Good job, Shane. I don't have a clue. Is the honest answer?
Sorry, no.
Can you check out this awkward silence, Shane?
This is brilliant.
Tell them all about it, those conspiracy guys.
Oh, Barry Lyndon. That's it. So Kubrick
is the name of the movie.
Yeah, Kubrick did this movie called Barry Lyndon after the moon landing, but he wanted to film this experimental this experimental way where you didn't have any like incidental lights, you didn't have any key lights or fill lights. The whole movie and everybody in it was going to be lit by candlelight only.
Class. Right?
Class. But there was no technology to be able to film in such a dark environment. The only people that had a lens that was powerful enough to do that was...
NASA.
Bam. NASA. So he practiced with Space Odyssey 2001, did the space, the moon landing.
Yeah.
Then they gave him a lens of like a lens worth $1 billion to film Barry Lyndon.
And then they killed him.
And then he made The Shining.
Oh.
And in The Shining, he confessed to filming the moon landing with loads of imagery. There's a documentary called Room 231.
Okay.
Where it shows all the stuff, like when the kid is like, and he's messing at the start, and he has like a picture, and he has Apollo 11 and his jumper and all this stuff. So there's loads of like imagery and loads of like clues and confessions, like visual confessions that Kubrick put into that movie. And then he made a load of others, but he made Eyes Wide Shut. And I think 5 days before Eyes Wide Shut was released, he died mysteriously at home. And he had been a recluse. He was in his house for months because he was saying like...
Terrified.
They're going to fucking kill me. They're going to fucking kill me.
Was he saying that?
Yeah. He was afraid to go out. There was a plot against him to kill, like in his mind.
Yeah.
And his wife has spoken out about it since then. His death was very unexpected and suspicious. And like he was definitely killed for outing this...
Yeah.
This... satanic cabal of people who like use people for sex and then kill them. And now we find out Jeffrey Epstein is the head of this thing. Like Kubrick's predictions and his depictions have come to fruition, come to life. That's all tied in with the moon landing, Epstein, the fucking Eyes Wide Shut, the, you know, it's all
lovely use of fruition.
Yeah,
it's, you all don't get to use that word enough.
It's all connected.
Talk to me about lizard people.
Now, okay.
How long have we
Who
got?
Who is a lizard?
Beyonce's a lizard.
Who isn't a lizard?
Beyonce Queen is a lizard. Lizard. The Queen is a lizard. But for anyone who doesn't know, because my own Luke, if he's listening, is obsessed with the theory of lizard people.
Well,
yeah.
And own Luke, I asked that question for you, so I hope you're listening.
Okay.
Because Gordo's going to answer it now.
Lizard people.
Have you done an episode on lizard people?
I have, in a way.
Okay.
I did an episode on David Icke.
Yeah.
Who was possibly... counted as the major proponent of the lizard people theory. It's not actually about lizards.
Okay.
What?
Yeah, I know. We all watched that Prince Andrew.
Fuck this.
I'm out.
I'm out. I quit.
And that's it for this episode of Those Conspiracy Guys. No, sorry. So like Prince Andrew said that he has a peculiar medical condition where
he doesn't sweat.
He's not able to sweat. Like, and lizards sweat. Can't like sweat. Yeah.
Lizards can't sweat.
So, I mean, that,
he's not sure about to take that down as a note. Lizards can't sweat.
And you read it tomorrow and go like, what does this mean? Lizards can't
lizards
sweat?
Can't sweat. Sweet.
What does this mean?
No, but I'd spell it like lizards.
Lizards. So Lizzo can't sweat? What is this? So... basically, the lizard people that they say, it's kind of like a misunderstanding of a bunch of different theories about the origins of human life. So we did an episode, like did another triplicate, did another bunch of episodes on this alien, the alien progenitors, the Prometheus of our species, called the Anunnaki. Who are an ancient alien race that come from a planet called Nibiru. And this is like called the 10th planet. This is a planet that's on a huge elliptical orbit. It's still in our solar system, but it only comes in once every 120,000 years. And they are God. They are what the Egyptians had on the walls with the animal heads, what the ancient Mesopotamians had. Like you look up Sumerian helicopter. That's a fucking weird pair of words, but you'll see now in a second. So these guys come around every, you know, couple of dozen millennia, and they just check in on us. They're like, "How are you getting on? You all right? You all right for everything? You on the toasty? You on a blanket?" And then they're back off again, you know, bopping around the galaxy. And they were the ones that came to this planet. People presume to mine gold because this is what. Yeah, it's hard to get into. This is what translator of the Sumerian tablets, the Anunnaki tablets, called Zechariah Sitchin, who's a Hungarian-born anthropologist. He translated all of these cuneiform tablets that were found in the tens of thousands of tablets that were delicately buried in the desert. Right?
Yeah.
And they pulled them all out, and they're like little kind of like A5 tablets with cuneiform, which is like, you know, these kind of like pokes and dots and triangles. And he figured all that shit out, and he said, yep, this is what they're trying to say. And they had 13,000 years ago, there was a race of people on our planet who knew about astrology or astronomy, modern medicine. They were doing like heart transplants. They were doing like
horoscopes.
Yeah. Horology.
Asking each other what their sign was.
Don't go back there.
Yeah. Thalassophobia. No, they had like all of these modern sciences. And we're told like that stuff only happened with the ancient Greeks like 4,000 years ago, or with the Egyptians pioneered irrigation. But these lads 13,000 years ago had all that stuff. The Anunnaki come from this planet Nibiru. They are a couple of 100,000 years ago, they came to our planet. They wanted the gold. So they genetically engineered this race called the Ajiji. The Ajiji, who kind of look like lizards, they were...
Was that racist?
No.
Are they real?
No. That's, okay. Well, they might be real, but they're definitely not a race. And it's fine. There's no like NAACP for Ajiji. Whatever. You're like, oh, that sounds African? No.
Well, I tuned out, then I tuned back into it. They look a bit like lizards. I was like, oh, geez.
Okay.
I'm back.
Okay, cool.
I love that you're opening everything. I tuned out.
I glazed over
and then
there.
And then I tuned back in.
I glazed over for the big words. So like this Ajiji, they were like a worker race. Did you ever watch the movie Prometheus?
No.
Okay.
So, Michael Fassbender's in it.
Yeah. That's so do you know the big white like soft face dudes? That they're kind of like the Ajiji. So these are like a genetically superior race. And they put them down here to work. And then Nibiru went off on another spin and came back, and then the Ajiji, like tens of thousands of years later, were like, what the fuck, man, this working is for chumps, like this is bullshit, let us train the half monkey people to do it for us. And then the Anunnaki were like, okay. And then they went off again, and the Ajiji were riding a few of the good looking ones and ended up making this kind of half breed, half alien, half human, which is what we descend from. It's like to fill in the gaps of, you know, the missing link. Like, how did we become from monkeys into humans?
Oh, yeah.
It's because we got fucked by some aliens. Horny aliens.
Okay.
Right?
Interesting.
And
they
imbued us with all of this, you know, intelligence and wonder, and also the mentality of a slave. We're genetically engineered by these aliens to do that.
Yeah.
And that's what the lizard people are. They're the more pure-blooded version of those, that progenitor race.
Interesting.
That's so, answered my question.
So they keep to their own, if you know what I mean, bloodline wise.
Okay.
This could literally be the plot of Star Wars, and we'd be here like, I know, I hear you.
There's movies out there like that already. There's another theory about like lizard people that David Icke talks about a lot, and it's not strictly like lizards or reptilian overlords or whatever, but there is an element of like blue-bloodedness. He talks about an alien race called the Archons. So I don't know if you're familiar with Scientology.
Oh yeah.
So in Scientology, you get your soul is under siege, yeah, from what are they called now?
Tom Cruise?
No, I know what you're talking about, but I can't.
They have these.
I'm gonna Google.
They're ghosts that live in the volcanoes, and then they're all these. They're the ghosts of aliens that died on another planet, and then they were frozen and they were sent here, and then a volcano blew up and they all came out and attached themselves to us. Argons, I think. Orgones. Argons.
I listened to a podcast on it recently.
I would put money on Argons, just for my brain box, and these Argons, they're also known as jinn, D-J-I-N-N, in the Islam faith. So jinn is what we get the idea of a genie from. The Catholics and Christians know them as demons.
Thetans.
Thetans, there we go.
Argons.
Argons is something.
I don't know. It doesn't ring a bell to me, but okay, I believe you.
We'll check it out. So these Thetans are like...
They control everything you do.
Yeah, same as the jinn. They're... an alien race of disembodied consciousnesses.
Okay.
That, like Patrick Swayze
in Ghost?
Yeah, in the subway in Ghost, trying to push that coin.
Dance. I know, but it's all the one. It's all the one.
Don't mix up your Swayzes.
Hungry.
Yes.
No, Ghost Swayze. Is a...
He jumps off the stage and he goes through the floor.
Yeah, love. Yeah.
Garth.
Hey.
My darling.
She's got pipes.
Oh, yeah. Nice pipes, Tamika.
Yeah.
Scoot around.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. Carry on.
So yeah, these archons are like bodiless. They're like bodiless children who didn't get invited to the party.
Okay.
And they can't experience life the same way as us. But okay, they also feed on our negative emotions. So they influence other people to be shitty to us so that we feel sad or fearful. And then they grab onto us at nighttime when we're asleep and then suck out all our badness as their food. So then some people...
I'm buying into this. I like this.
Some people, in order to get like unlimited power, they'll allow those spirits into themselves.
Yeah,
that's very like Scientology, isn't it?
And go like, take me over, but like, give me, you know, like science.
It's like a trading system.
Exactly. You sell your soul to the devil to be able to play a lead guitar like a legend or whatever. So you're letting these demons in and you're like, you run the show, but like, I get all the benefits of it and get my rod sucked and get loads of fucking gold toilets and shit. Like, and so the material rewards for the person who's being possessed are the payment for allowing this archon, this invisible vampire alien, to inhabit your body. And that's what they think, like, you know, Obama and Hillary and the Queen and all of these people that are lizard people, they've sold their soul. Do you know? You can see, like, there's like slowed down videos of Hillary Clinton blinking, and she blinks once with this set of eyelids and then blinks like sideways, like in Men in Black with the other set. There's loads of mad videos, you know? But I think that, it's mostly spiritual, you know? Like, it's mostly like...
I could do with getting rid of some bad feelings, is the thing. Like, it sounds a lot cheaper than therapy.
And we love material things.
Yeah, I do love possessions.
Yeah, I mean, most religions, when you think about it, the whole object is to be able to destroy the ego, get rid of the attachment to habits, to both bad and good, to pleasures of the flesh, and, you know, self-centered like pleasure activities, you know, drinking and wanking and all of these things that are outlawed by all these religions. You're not supposed to do that shit, or even eat like shrimp or something. You're supposed to be able to try and practice becoming one with everything else. We're all together. Try and refine that connection to the oneness that brings us all together. So it's all like the opposite actions or the opposite practices to bring our soul, which is living in our body, to a state where these thetans or these archons can't feed off us, so they just leave us alone, and then you attain peace, you attain nirvana, you know?
Yeah.
Like, the Buddhists sit for ages and try to get rid of all these things, like they give away all their worldly possessions, and they're just like roaming the world trying to be meditative and not want like material stuff and not want like sex and drugs and rock and roll and a big screen TV and all the shit that your man says in Fight Club. Like, that's most religions, that's the main goal. So it's like the opposite of that is to do as thou wilt, like Aleister Crowley or some Satan worshippers, where it's like do what thou wilt is the word of the law. If you want to do it, just do it, just pull yourself asunder, you know, ride everybody all around you, fucking do all the drugs, do all the drink. And it's like seen as like self-indulgent or hedonistic, but that's a way to celebrate as well. But you're just celebrating the archons, you're celebrating the spirits that feed on that. And they, in turn, give you power. It's like a reciprocal thing, you know? They give you, like, power aids, you know? Where you're like, okay, I'll fuck with you, but I end up with, like, a certain way of living. Yeah.
Yeah. Pleasures of the Flesh would be a great name for your book as well.
What was the other one? Pleasures of the Flesh and...
Sweating But Power and Through.
Sweating But Power and Through, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Brilliant. Is this one of these books that you don't have to lick your finger to turn the page?
What?
Huh?
It's covered in sweat
is it a special book?
Bodily fluids. I only have one.
A nighttime book.
I have one last question, and it's if you.
I feel like I've talked an awful lot because you guys talk way more usually in the shows that I listen to. Have I like taken over? Is this?
No, you've really
you have all the information, so that's the way we need.
You've given us a day off from doing any research, so we appreciate that. We do very little as it is.
What I would love is to find out why you guys think of this stuff, because like I was going blah 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 blah, and then you didn't say anything about it. You were just like, okay, on to the next thing.
No, but we're not intelligent enough.
My head is warm.
I'm definitely going to look into the lizard thing a bit more.
Yeah,
this is all off the top of my head memory stuff.
I know, that's
so scary.
There's
so much more detail. Like, I do notes, like 10,000 words of notes or more for each episode, and like names and dates and all the shit. Like it goes into it.
Yeah, we do that.
But it's done in like the round where we're. Yeah. It's not just me going. Amen. It's not.
Yeah.
Well, that's why we're coming on your podcast where we'll be able to vocalize these thoughts that we can now because we're just so stunned.
Yeah. Have you done a Unabomber episode?
I have already. I'm sorry.
Beck.
But we can do a reprise.
No, I don't have much more to add.
You can listen.
Can we do a Patrick Swayze episode?
Of course.
She's like the wind.
My mom is convinced she killed Patrick Swayze because, like the Mandela effect, she was like, I swear, Patrick Swayze, he's dead. He died. Like, he's dead to my auntie or something. And she was like, convinced Patrick Swayze was dead. And then she Googled it and he wasn't. 2 days later, he died.
Oh.
No, Siobhan killed Patrick Swayze. I hate that.
This is bad coincidence.
Fuck off.
Tell her to Google the Queen tonight.
She's going to get the land of her life.
See what happens on Wednesday.
No, so sorry. I just want to ask, if you're afraid that maybe your son or daughter or maybe a close friend of yours is getting involved with the Illuminati, what advice would you have to get them to? Where did you like that? There's
just
only so many times you can say, just say no. Yeah, but like, what advice would you give? I think Breed's going down a bad path.
I didn't even pick up on that.
On my Facebook page, like, I think twice a week, I get these big, long messages where it's like, if you would like to join the Illuminati and get lots of money, text on WhatsApp to this number.
No, this is racist.
But it's from a lad called Mas Abowembo. Like, these motherfuckers are just like.
You know what like, he says? Like,
anyway, you get
that name, with so that name and his profile picture, I can guess.
So as you were saying, you get messages from people who might be called some names or have some kind of accents. And they ask you, and they want you to join the Illuminati. Why haven't you joined? What stopped you?
Maybe he has.
Have you joined?
I mean.
Can you tell us?
What is the Illuminati?
It's Fight Club.
Is it? Do you tell me what you think? Because I feel like I'm blasting your
audience.
It's
a club that
your
celebrities.
Millennial audience
it's like
are
Fight
like,
Club for the most part people in the world.
It's a club that celebrities join for money and protection.
Is it though?
You asked her.
You asked and I answered.
Is that what you think it is?
Yeah.
And how do you get into the club?
I think someone else asks you. Like they
your
ask
emails,
you.
Yeah.
He sends you a voice note on WhatsApp. Hey, how's it going?
You just
he
pay
writes
a minimal
you on
fee.
For a low, low fee.
He just Snapchats you his Mickey just in rolls of money.
Hey, you up?
How much
someone,
money do you have to be asked into the Illuminati?
A millionaire.
It's a combination
just a million?
Of money and
do you know how many
power.
Millionaires there are?
There's millionaires in Ireland.
But I think you have to be like a famous millionaire.
So I would say billionaire.
You have to be known.
What is your criteria for someone who's in the Illuminati? Famous?
Powerful?
Millionaire? Powerful?
Influential.
Okay. To what
good
end?
Good looking?
To what?
No, maybe not.
I mean.
I feel like they target couples, like celebrity couples, do they?
I don't know.
Because I, again, not to keep going back, but Beyonce and Jay-Z.
You think they're
I
in
would
the Illuminati?
Say, yeah.
Do you think Kim and Kanye are in the Illuminati?
Jay-Z's throwing up triangle signs like the eye and all that stuff.
Are Kim and Kanye?
Not yet.
I think they're.
Interesting.
What do the Illuminati do in your mind? Before I tell you, because I have loads of
parties
information.
Parties at Biker Grove. Bohemian Grove, was it?
Biker Grove! Biker Grove.
Hey, pass us over to prostitute, won't you? I've got a bag of cool cane.
Is that Andrew Neck? Was that going Andrew Neck? Let's get ready to rumble.
Which one
Let's
was
get ready
that
to rumble.
Oh no, I'm at the blowing cocaine in my eyeballs and I'm no blind. Can't he see?
Up the tune.
Away.
Watch us.
Okay, I actually don't know what they do. I thought it was just kind of like a secret society.
But why be secret?
Do you know, like in the Simpsons,
what are they doing? Are they all
they
like, are they all like sitting around in a circle and just pulling the lad off to
rich
the left?
People, rich people like other rich people. Rich
yeah, they're
people
all bigging
like
each other up.
People.
So do you think that there's like a social hierarchy? Is it?
Yeah.
So do you think
just tell me I'm right.
Is there an Illuminati in Ireland?
I'd say so.
Good question. I never thought about that.
What you're saying is what you're describing is just like a social clique.
Yeah.
Like just like of they probably have like cliques
passwords
here.
And stuff.
Yeah, like they go to shake hands and they do this. Like, shake hands.
No.
To do that, how are you going to just give you a tickle on the inside? Like that joke when you used to be in Wesley and someone wants to.
We didn't go to Wesley, Gordo.
I didn't either. I was just told about the snowballing or whatever. You remember that?
No.
All right, where you'd suck a lad off and then you'd kiss the next lad with your man's cum in your mouth. It's called snowballing. Yeah, that was...
Hi, ma'am.
What was her name? Calypso? Oh, no, that's your ma's name. Was it?
Yeah.
Calista Flockhart.
Calypso Jones.
Nice. Yeah, I think the Illuminati... It's very simplified in user estimation that you think that there's just a bunch of rich people just all hang out and big each other up. I think that's the case anyway amongst like successful people or rich people or people who are allied in business. If you're like with an agency, a talent agency, you'd see it here in Ireland, you know. You have like the likes of Lisa Richards, talent agency, right? And that works.
Do we need to start throwing in some allegedly's here?
Yeah,
again?
Let's not name names.
No, let's name names. So you have Aiken Promotions, Lisa yeah. Richards, and then you have a bunch of comedians that are signed to Lisa Richards that get gigs with Aiken Promotions. And cyclically, the people who are with Lisa Richards, who are very famous, Lisa Richards' agency would sign on someone who's not so famous and put them supporting the famous people. So it's like a business organization that is self-sustaining and that is focused on, do you know, localized growth using a system of promotion that's national, that's money-making, and that's a closed loop. So you can't have people coming in and, you know, taking over Vicar Street and just hiring Vicar Street out and just doing like a Vicar Street gig and making a ball of money and going, thanks, and then just fucking off with all the money. It's like, no. You got to pay your way all the way down. That's just like a business organization.
Is that what they do?
But you're saying it's not that.
Is that not what they do? Like, that's how...
You're being very evasive.
He's definitely in it. Like,
what I'm saying is,
you're in the Illuminati. That's fine. We don't judge.
You're describing.
We're an equal opportunity podcast.
You're describing a bit like a business organization. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Like, no, I get it. Yeah.
The Illuminati, the kind of the mythos is that they'll exclude people or that they don't want to be found out. And yet Jay-Z is throwing up the fucking triangle eye, and Jim Carrey's going on Jimmy Kimmel and going bah, like. All this kind of stuff, sticking his tongue out, with doing the triangle.
That's the thing,
with his
like
hands.
If they're in it, they're not very good at being in it. Like,
that's what I mean. Is it so secret? So the origins of the Illuminati come from a guy called Isaac Weishaupt, and it was started in 1787, where he saw a bunch of fraternal communities like the Freemasons. Have you ever heard of them?
Yeah.
So the Freemasons in Germany at the time were all very devoutly Christian. It was a closed loop of business owners who got together and said, we'll all fucking got each other's backs. Isn't that right, Fritz? That's right, Hans. And the boys, that's not racist. You don't have to make the face. She was like, can we say that? That's their names. That's German names. So like they were all high-fiving each other and doing those tickle hand handshakes and stuff. And like, okay, so listen, I'm going to import a lot of wood. And you as a guy who makes all these things from wood. So I give you the low price, but you can only buy from me and no other wood guy. Okay. Okay. And then it was like they scissored in business. And that was how they went on. But nobody was supposed to know because you're not supposed to do that. It's supposed to be a fair and open market.
Yeah.
But it's not. Like, it's a bunch of people who know other people and go, okay, let's choose these people because they'll cooperate and not choose these people because they won't cooperate. Because you want everyone in your organization to be on the same page. And if you're at dodgy shit, you want everybody to be trustworthy enough to not rat you out. Or... you want them to be included in the dodgy shit so they can't rat on you without ratting on themselves.
Yeah.
That's...
I get that.
That's how it's organized. So Isaac Weishaupt was looking at the Freemasons and how they controlled business and industry in Germany in the late 18th century. And it was huge stuff going on. Like, they were the central transit hub for, like, everything in Europe, right? And... Isaac Weishaupt was like, nah, fuck this, man. These guys are not thinking about the future. They're only thinking about themselves, the short-term gains. We want to create a just society. The collectivization of all of the German principalities hadn't happened really yet. There was no unified Germany at that point. It was loads of like Bavaria and all of these other kind of independent communities were battling with each other over tariffs and taxes and all this stuff. So he was like, let's get together a bunch of real smart dudes who can infiltrate this fraternal organization for the betterment of all humanity. They were the moral compass. They had a self-anointed moral compass to infiltrate the Freemasons, pretend to be Freemasons, and then change shit from the inside. They were the illuminated ones. They were intelligent. They were, I guess, the original liberals. They were the ones who wanted to make changes in these corrupt business practices. So within about 13 years, they were completely decimated. All of these guys were rooted out. They were all, some of them were even killed. A lot of them went into hiding. We don't know how many of them survived, but they did infiltrate the Freemason order and they almost took the whole thing over. Some people say that they did take it over and pretended to get everybody out, but they were really the ones to, you know, continue on this Freemasonry, this cabal of businessmen. And all through that 19th century and into the early 20th century, it blossomed into stuff like we see the New York Stock Exchange, the Federal Reserve being created, the global banking system that was created by the Rothschilds all over Europe, the rise of the dollar, the conjoinment of all of the different types of currency in the US. Do you remember, did you ever hear greenbacks and all this stuff? So no. Like in America, there was no unified banknote until 1907. And in all through the 19th century, all through the 1800s, there was booms and busts and booms and busts. There was lads like having to eat dirt because they needed like $400 to buy a loaf of bread.
So it's like, I'll give you $400 if you eat this dirt.
No, they just had dirt for free.
That's just what you do to me, Preach.
No, I was going to say.
So like, there was these boom and busts because the currency wasn't guaranteed.
Yeah.
So in order to solve that problem, they created the Federal Reserve to put all the money in together. Like the Illuminati, that's like one of the original mission statements of the Illuminati, was to unify currency, was to unify business, but in a positive, illuminated, logical, uncorrupt way. But obviously people get in and our lads die and new lads come in and they're all like, I see potential around here. And then they end up getting like infiltrated by other people. Like in the 40s and 50s, Italian immigrants came and they started bringing their own kind of shenanigans from southern Italy and they injected it into American society, which absolutely wasn't ready for it at all. And created the Cosa Nostra, which we know better as the Mafia. And they took over so many businesses all across America because they were excellent capitalists. I have a whole episode on the Italian Mafia that's delicioso.
Chef's kiss.
Chef's kiss.
So if people want to hear more about this, they can go to...
Yeah, there's an episode on the Illuminati. There's an episode on the Italian Mafia. There's an episode on the Federal Reserve. And it's all the story. Like, history is so much more... So much more interesting and told so incorrectly.
Yeah.
For most people in school, like either you're like mad for it or you're like, oh, fucking pain in the hole remembering dates and shit. But nobody's really given that love of the understanding, like the pulling apart or the connecting of things. There's so many things that are like crazy connected at a super deep level for a really long time in a grand arc. A plan over generations to, as we see now, it's coming to fruition, to fully control the thoughts and minds and actions of people. Like there's people out protesting in the street in Portland, Oregon, all dressed in black with masks on, beating the shit out of people for wearing a red cap. And then they're going, you're the fascist. And they're like, dude, in the 30s in Italy, lads wore black and they bashed people for wearing little hats on the back of their heads. They were called Jews. Like, you guys really look and sound like fascists. You guys are saying, you can't say this, you're not allowed to talk about that. You are the untermenschen, you are the unwanted, you're a less than, you're deplorable. And they wear all black, they stop traffic, they fucking fight the police. That shit happened in the 20s in Germany, happened in the 30s in Italy. It's a blueprint of fascism. And yet... The quote is, they cry out in pain as they strike you. They accuse you of the things that they are guilty of. These motherfuckers are bashing people's cars up because they have like an American flag sticker on it. They're abandoning nationalism. They're abandoning identity. They're coming together in a faceless glob. That, like with the prayers in church, amen, believe whatever they're told, when questioned, can't like cognitively process these things, and when separated, become like screeching weirdos that have to report people online to validate their existence. Like it's so fucked up. But that seems to be the end goal, because all you have to do is tell them a thing and they'll do it. Tell them a thing, they'll do it. The news says this, that's the absolute truth. Don't even question it. If you do question it, you're a fascist. You're a Nazi if you question it. Okay. So if you're thinking about like... you think about the Illuminati in the way you're saying it, influencers, famous people, rich people, what they want is a subdued populace. They want people to do as they're fucking well told.
Gordo, I just want to make a few pound. Like, do you know, I'm not trying to...
But you can. You totally can.
We're not trying to suppress anyone.
You totally can. But what I'm saying is that, like, if you got offered to be in the Illuminati, but you were in remuneration for your influence, you were asked to embody certain beliefs and proselytize and evangelize those beliefs over your podcast to your massive amount of fans, would you take the money and say what you're supposed to say?
Yep.
Yeah, that's why you're here.
Could I have one mortgage, please, Mr. Illuminati?
But like, if you were told to
it's a text
to give out a message that was against your core principles, that was against like your
she wouldn't, don't
your
mind
beliefs.
Would oh yeah, no, I wouldn't. I'm fully taking the piss, but I would really like a house. Like,
but
if anyone wants to do like spank on for a house, please don't hesitate to contact me.
So that then is the carrot on the stick for people who will go along with it, because what they're being told is the system, the way it is now, is completely fucked. We can't work within this system. It has to be torn down, and what we'll do to replace it is replace it with this socialist utopia where the people at the bottom are now at the top. What do you think that's going to put into the minds of all the people at the bottom? They're going to be like, yeah, let's fucking burn it down. Of course they're going to want to fucking go along with it, because they get to be at the top then.
Yeah,
all you have to do is promise the people at the bottom some rich shit and they'll do anything you want. And it's happened time and time and time again across all different countries, across all different languages. This shit has happened where they promise what they can't give you. You fight to take away the powers that are in place. They're replaced with other powers who are almost identical. And nothing ever changes for anyone at the bottom or the middle. It's all the top that get the benefits.
Yeah. Listen, Gordo, I could talk to you all night, but we have to go home. Okay. This is only a mini episode for you, really. You do like 5 and 6 hours of this.
Yeah, but I'm much better prepared for my ones.
Don't be
this
silly.
Is like, this
you
is
say that as if you as if we're not prepared. Where can people find you?
I'm talking about me being prepared. I would have had notes and like a big, like a
auto-cue. I'm so glad you didn't have notes. I would not have gone into work tomorrow. I'd be still sitting there.
Just wait. For those listening at home, and I was going through that whole thing, the two girls were like shaking their heads with really wide eyes, mouthing the words, no, no, no. Like,
oh,
I
yeah.
don't know.
We do not. What is the word? We do not.
I don't know who sponsored this
condone,
show.
Condone, endorse.
No, we don't endorse anything like Gordo has said tonight.
We'll have to do something.
But go to open some doors, think about things.
It is.
Certainly.
Look, if anyone's listening, come over to my place. Come over to me.
To your house.
Thoseconspiracyguys.com.
No, go
find me online at Those Conspiracy Guys, mostly at T Conspiracy Guys on Twitter. Like, I know you guys have a certain cohort that I might not have on my show.
Well, probably not anymore.
My show is like 55-45, like men to women.
Okay.
So there's a lot of women listeners.
Yeah.
Disproportionately, I thought, for the amount of dick jokes that are on the show and the amount of times I say flaps.
We had a lot of women send in their conspiracy theories, so I'm sure they'll be over to you straight away. But
conspiracy theories that are absolutely real, like the luxury tax on feminine hygiene products. What the fuck is that about?
Yeah, oh, fuck the pink tax.
Yeah, no strings attached.
Quite literally.
But the tampons are all cheaper then.
Yeah, and with that, Breed, we're on to mini bandwagons.
These are going to sound so boring now. Like, but okay. So I'm doing my mini bandwagons, Gordo. I don't know if you know what they are. They're like little things that they started out as being like mini cultural things that everyone was doing, but now they've just turned into things I did during the week.
Pretty much, or things she likes,
or things I like to do next week.
TikToks I found particularly entertaining.
TikTok.
Love TikTok. Do you love TikTok?
I haven't got.
I'm getting into TikTok now.
Oh shit!
So much fun.
Have you listened to our episode on TikTok?
Not yet.
Well, there you go.
It's a time destroyer.
I was the same about. I was flicking through once, just laughing.
Yeah.
Breed.
I've been listening to a podcast, guys. It's called Dolly Parton's America.
Oh my god!
It's lit.
Have you seen the Dolly Parton thing on Netflix?
Is it good or bad? No, please, God, we have to go
it's
home.
It's the best thing ever.
Oh, good.
Jolene.
I watched Jolene.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's the fucking dramatizations of her. What?
Jolene was crap. Like, it's like one of those Hallmark movies.
Exactly.
Like,
it's delightfully shit.
Yeah. I'd agree.
I love it. And I also watched a Christmas movie called, with Dolly Parton in it, something about an angel. Where she gets to be a nanny, she dies and then goes to heaven, and it's like, you can't get into heaven because you were a fucking asshole for your whole life. But if you babysit these children for 3 days, we'll let you in. She's I'll do it. That's absolutely hilarious.
Oh my God, I'm going to watch that. But yeah, her podcast is really, really good. It's basically her just telling the stories about her songs and her life, and it's really interesting. Even if you don't have any interest in Dolly Parton, she's a gas bitch.
Her book is amazing as well.
Yeah.
Dolly. Yeah. Claire, my girlfriend, is absolutely delighted to get into Dolly world.
Oh, yeah. I just put it on my bucket list 2 hours ago.
She loves Dolly Parton. I do now too.
Yeah.
She's brilliant, man.
Yeah.
She's so good and such a good businesswoman.
Yeah. And she's
despite,
genius.
Despite everything.
Number two is The Irishman. I have not seen it, but everyone else seems to.
It'll take about a week to watch it.
I'm not going to watch it.
Very interesting. Very interesting experiment that Netflix did. Because they did a simultaneous
with the Netflix cinema and the
cinema
Netflix
release.
Yes.
Yeah.
I wonder how that's going to go for them.
I think it's going to change cinema if the numbers are good. Because who will go out and sit in the cinema for 4 hours?
Not me.
They also have this thing where Netflix bought a theatre.
I was just about to say, and
they're just going
to
play all their own
stuff. It's a single screen cinema, and it's one of America's last ones. And I'd say that's going to be
the ones that Tarantino wanks about at nighttime. It's like got the old fucking Eddie Mill film camera.
Sure, they're like winding their arms like they're on the Geordie Shore.
But they bought, do you know why they bought the cinema?
No.
Because they want to be considered for Oscars.
Oh, yeah.
And you need to have a cinematic release to be considered in the Oscars. So stuff like...
Is that with the Irishman?
Netflix Studios, yeah.
Interesting.
But the analytics from the release of it on Netflix and in the cinema together, that could show that like...
Crush it because
it could be possible to release movies like that. So you have to be on Netflix and you can go see it in the cinema if you're not a Netflix subscriber.
The option. That's mad. I know a lot of... a couple of our friends worked on it.
Yeah.
Both in Canada and...
Shout out Emer Mac
and Baby Nocton as well.
Shout out Baby Nocton.
Illuminati members.
Yeah. Finally, which seems so silly now, but it is Elf on the Shelf season, and I hate you for making me put this on the list.
It is Elf on the Shelf season.
The Elf on the Shelf is a CIA construct to be able to make people think that you're being watched all the time.
Surveillance, yeah.
You're looking at the elf and thinking he's watching you when really it's your mobile phone that's listening to you all the fucking time. Edward Snowden said it.
Oh, yeah. I have all my Macs covered over with tape, like all those cameras.
Oh, do you? What are you doing?
All the elf's eyes covered.
Me and work, I'm the only one. Like.
That's such a sign of a guilty hand.
No, I'm just shit at my job. Former job.
Yeah.
Lol.
Anyway, that's all I have.
The breed's done. Thanks so much again, Gordo, for coming in.
Lads, I had a really good time.
You took none of our advice.
I'm sorry, I went so long.
Shane has his work cut out for him tonight.
Shane had his head in his hands for a lot of that now.
I said all the words. He's been like tapping his watch on his wrist for the last 40 minutes going, Gordo.
Really?
Stop the Illuminati stuff. Like, come on, I got to go home. But yeah, thanks very much for having me.
And, fun.
You guys are going to come
to TCG
Towers.
Yeah.
I'm going to get you one at a time because when you're separated, I think I'll definitely be able to turn.
No, don't be comfortable.
I'm way more skeptical than Breed is.
I'll definitely convert Breed into a conspiracy.
I've already converted. I went to your show last year in the podcast festival.
Yeah,
and I stayed till the end.
Because it was 9 hours long.
It was. He was like, do you know what? If you need to leave, just go.
It was like,
I don't care.
It's like one of those timeshare meetings you get when you're on holidays in Spain, just to keep you in the room until the last minute.
Yeah.
But yeah, thanks for having me. I had a really good time.
No, it was fun. It was a good laugh.
Listen to him, find out more about him, those conspiracy guys, all over social, Patreon, wherever you get your podcasts.
And have some time. Box away some time to listen
to
him. There'll be plenty of time over the Christmas when all your family are arguing. just
yeah.
listen to some conspiracy theories about?
I have some brilliant Christmas episode. I have a whole one on Santa.
Leave Santa out of this, Gordo.
Oh, no. Santa's the story of Santa, the real Santa, amazing.
Oh, great.
He was actually like a Turkish bishop.
Amazing.
And he used to leave gold coins in women's stockings so that they had enough money to not become prostitutes.
Oh, that sounds
nice. Like OnlyFans.
Yeah. Santa was amazing, man. But he was a person of color and has completely been co-opted.
Okay, we're going now. That's it. Okay.
If you want to find us, we're Bandwagons on everything too.
Bandwagons podcast.
I sound so cross.
Please review. We're on Patreon as well if you want to support us. We'd really appreciate that. I've been Fionnuala.
I've been Breed.
And I've been Gordon.
And we'll see you next week.
If we're not cancelled.
Ich bin Charissa und meine Empfehlung an alle Entrepreneure, startet mit Shopify erfolgreich durch. Ich verwende Shopify schon seit dem ersten Tag und die Plattform macht mir nie Probleme. Ich habe viele Probleme, aber die Plattform ist nie eins davon. Ich habe das Gefühl, dass Shopify ihre Plattform kontinuierlich optimiert. Alles ist super einfach, integrier und verlinkbar. Und die Zeit und das Geld, das ich dadurch spare, kann ich anderweitig investieren. Vor allem in Wachstum.
Jetzt kostenlos testen auf shopify.de.